Listen. Hello? We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
You play to win the game.
Next fan up.
I want winners.
Featuring Pod Vader and the Superfans.
They are who we thought they were.
If you only knew what it took to get to this point today, it took quite a bit. We had to move mountains. We had to move lots of things. And ultimately, Queen Padme is going to be angry at me at the end of the day. And English Simon will be able to attest to that. Hi, everybody. I'm Pod Vader. This is Next Fan Up. And this is a very special program for us because this is our first ever, first annual All NFL first and second teams voted on by the super fans. And there's definitely some interesting voting going on. Let me first introduce you to our Steelers super fan, who is Greg. Greg is our statistician. He's the guy that put the votes all together. Greg, how are you?
Doing great, Pod. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty well, all things considered. I've already mentioned English Simon. He had a great conversation with my wife about an hour ago, which is when we were supposed to start recording this. Simon, how are you?
I'm great, although your wife thinks I'm Australian, Simon, which I thought was quite funny. So yeah, it's been a long delay, but we're here now. It's gonna be a great show.
I think so. Just because we're cruel, we decided to wake up a couple of West Coasters this morning, starting with Ken, our San Diego Chargers super fan.
What's up, Jay? How you doing?
Doing well. Thanks for waking up and making a back-to-back appearance. I don't know how many super fans have been able to do this. It's our new 49ers super fan, Charlie with a Y. Charlie, what's happening?
Morning. That hour delay gave me some more time to get some coffee down, so I'm good.
There you go. I like it. If you'd like to contact us via email, our email address is nextfanup@gmail.com. And that email address is slightly important because as we did take all the votes from our super fans, we found where we have holes and where we need people to fill in. I am happy to announce we finally do have a Bills super fan. His name is Brian, and he'll be joining us at some point here down the road, maybe next week. We'll get him on the podcast. And unfortunately, we have sad news, and one of our original super fans, Dolphin Dave, has retired his mantle. I appreciate everything Dave has done for us in the past. He was one of the guys who helped keep this group together while I was going through a transition period at ESPN. So I wish Dave the best of luck in some of the things that he's planning on doing moving forward. I have a feeling there's some of the things he discussed with me a few years back. So good luck, Dave. We appreciate everything you've done for us as our Dolphin super fan. And so that means we have openings. So nextfanup@gmail.com, we're looking for a Houston Texans super fan and a Miami Dolphins super fan. You can also tweet us at NFU Podcast on Twitter, facebook.com/NFU Podcast. Or if you're on Facebook, you just type in Next Fan Up in the search and you'll see us there. That's all going to be important. We only have two Saturday shows left, and then we're going to our double show per week schedule where Mark Sitko, our Eagle superfan, will host Sunday nights doing a Sunday night recap show. I will be hosting the preview shows, which you'll hear on Thursdays. So very excited about all the changes coming here at Next Fan Up. News this week. Gentlemen, I don't think there was a lot. There was the crunch to get contracts done for the franchise folks. There wasn't anything that happened that was of a surprise. I did say on last week's show about the alleged collusion between the Broncos and the Cowboys. Let's wait and see what the contracts are. Oh, they're the exact same for both wide receivers. I think the NFLPA might have a little bit more of a leg to stand on when it comes to talking about collusion between the two teams. We'll see what they do about that. My guess is it probably won't go anywhere because those types of things never go anywhere. Was there anything else interesting that happened this week, guys?
the only thing from a English perspective was that we had our annual sort of NFL players in the UK promoting the game Jamboree, where all the teams that are coming over this year kind of did a little bit of press and stuff like that, but nothing sort of major. So yeah, it's been quite a quiet week. I think everyone is dying for football. So let's start talking about it and get everyone excited.
I'm just about that action, boss. Oh, yes, we are about that action. And we're about the action of our first ever, first annual, all first and second teams as voted by the super fans. I keep calling it something else because that's what I do. I don't really have a good title for what we've done, but all the super fans voted. We had 28 possible votes. I abstained from voting, so I could be completely subjective about this list. And in those 28 votes, we had 4 unanimous players for our first team. And we're going to go position by position, but I want to let you know about our unanimous players. And those are Rob Gronkowski at tight end. I think that one's pretty obvious. J.J. Watt at defensive end. Again, I think that one's also pretty obvious. Dallas at offensive line. I'm curious. We decided to do an offensive line unit as a vote instead of voting by each position on the offensive line. Ken, do you think there'd be a little bit of a difference? How many of the Dallas players do you think would have ended up at the top? I wonder if there'd be any Dallas players that'd be a unanimous vote.
It's hard to argue with Tyrone Smith. It'd be hard to argue. Well, I don't know about the rest of that line, though. I know as a unit, it's great. That's why we voted for it. But, you know, they do have a... They had a rookie on their line last year who was great, of course, but is he an all-pro in his first year? I don't know about that. I think Tyrone Smith, their left tackle, would definitely be he'd be in the discussion for unanimous left tackle.
What do you think, Greg? Any of those guys individually been unanimous?
Well, I can only think of two of their names, and that's kind of the test for me. So I think the left tackle Smith, and I only heard about that Zach Martin because he was a rookie and he did so well. The right tackle, I think, is like a Freed, who I thought got benched or something like that at some point, or was hurt or something. So
right.
I would probably just go with Smith.
Yeah, that would have been interesting to take votes, but we didn't. We voted on the offensive line as a unit. I think that was a better way to go about it anyway. Dallas ended up being a unanimous first team selection for offensive line. But we'll start where every team needs to start, and that's with the most important position on the field, the quarterback. And Aaron Rodgers was the almost unanimous pick as the first team quarterback. Greg, you tried to get your quarterback Ben Roethlisberger as with a first ballot selection. Talk about Aaron Rodgers as our first team quarterback versus Ben Roethlisberger.
Well, I mean, he's got all the tools, and he's a great player. I had to stay consistent with going with Big Ben though, because that's what I said on previous podcasts, but. I mean, you can't argue against Rodgers. You can only, in my opinion, you can only argue for Roethlisberger. I mean, it's really like, you know, they're 1 and 1A, in my opinion.
I think where things got real interesting in our quarterback voting, Tom Brady ended up being second. And actually, I meant to go look at the ballot. Did anybody who accused Brady of cheating put Brady on their ballot? And I'm going right to one particular person. Actually, I can't look this up quickly. Greg, you're our statistician. Can you look up and see if Rex put Tom Brady on his ballot? Because he's a number one and accusing Tom Brady of cheating.
No, Rex was a genius. He went Rodgers, Roethlisberger, Brady. So he did have Brady on his ballot.
So Brady is still on his ballot. If you really believe that Tom Brady is a cheater, there is no way in the world you have any right to put Tom Brady on your ballot as a top quarterback in this league. Now, all of that being said, I'm going to say something here about Tom Brady that I've never said before. Tom Brady is quite possibly the greatest quarterback of all time.
Ben and Drew Breslow.
And
Joe Montana.
And Chuck Pipedown over there in 49er land. This is about Tom Brady and Drew Bledsoe, because Drew Bledsoe has my heart. And the reason why Drew Bledsoe has my heart is because Drew Bledsoe saved my franchise. Without Drew Bledsoe, there is no Tom Brady New England Patriots quarterback. There's only maybe Tom Brady St. Louis Mustangs quarterback. And at that point, I'm not a fan of the St. Louis Mustangs. Interestingly enough, I'm a fan of the Buffalo Bills. So things here are the fact that the Bills have been the last 15 years is directly related to the fact that my team never left, because if I was rooting for the Buffalo Bills, they'd be four-time world champions at this point in the past 15 years, unlike the New England Patriots. The way I see it. And by the way, if Brady gets us one for the thumb, which I think is very possible, then he might edge out Drew Bledsoe. But I don't know. Saving my franchise over four Super Bowls, I'm still going with the guy who saved my franchise. This is the way I am.
That's the final cut, by the way. You're a disgraceful podcast host, I tell you right now. That was unbelievable.
Listen, I'm going to take the time I have to stand on my soapbox. Drew Bledsoe, here's the thing. I'll even say this. This is something I've never said before. Bill Belichick made the right decision. And that's because you have to go with the guy who's surrounded by the right weapons. And Drew Bledsoe at the time was not surrounded by the right weapons. If Bledsoe in his prime had the Dallas Cowboys offensive line, Rob Gronkowski, and he did, he had his Ben Coates, and Randy Moss on the outside, then you got to go with Drew Bledsoe over Tom Brady. Tom Brady still, and I will swear this up and down to this day, because I've seen every snap that man has played, does not have an accurate long ball. He had wide receivers in Randy Moss specifically who made it look like he had an accurate long ball. But that's it. Brady cannot throw past 10 yards very accurately. Anything under 10 yards, he is pinpoint. But beyond that, he's horrible.
If we've still got listeners after that rant, I'd be very surprised. To trust me. Pod, you are. I think you should apologize to the fans of the NFL. Come on.
And that's why Aaron Rodgers is our number one quarterback and not Tom Brady. Aaron Rodgers is clearly a better quarterback when it comes to the deep ball. Greg, tell us about a couple of guys that were on the other ballot, like others receiving votes, because I think it is interesting that we're not talking about a Peyton Manning here in the top two. And I'm also curious to hear some of the other guys that got fringe votes.
Well, it's interesting. Luck was just edged out by Brady. And then there was a pack of Roethlisberger, Breeze, Manning, and Wilson kind of all humped together. And I think that was just, but who knows what that was. I mean, I think it's a tragedy Roethlisberger wasn't number three, so I can't be unbiased. But.
And Russell Wilson getting votes. Charlie, this after I said Russell Wilson's not an elite quarterback last week.
Yeah, that's the other Charlie. The Seahawks superfan was the only person I can see who voted for Russell Wilson, so go figure.
Well, by the way, I'm talking about our NFC West preview. That was last week. We have previewed every single division over the past few months here on the Next Fan Up podcast. You can go and download those on iTunes or check us out, blogtalkradio.com/nextfanup. All of our previous podcasts are up there, including special guests such as Ross Tucker and Matt Chatham, bringing us some football knowledge. Matt Chatham talking about the best triplets in the NFL. That was a great episode. Moving on now to the running back position. Our first team running backs, and I think this is almost inarguable, but they did not receive unanimous votes. Le'Veon Bell and Marshawn Lynch are our first team running backs. Bell received 20 of the 28. Lynch only 19 of the 28. And Charlie, 49ers, let's talk about that, because you're the guy who sees Marshawn Lynch the most.
Yeah, I mean, Marshawn Lynch is his PFF rating at 20.5, just behind Le'Veon Bell. Honestly, Marshawn Lynch, I don't know how he's not the best running back. You know, it seems like every time he seems to be tackled, you know, he pulls a stiff arm, he's able to break the tackle and get upfield. And he's actually underrated coming out of the backfield catching balls, as you remember in that last drive of the Super Bowl before they decided not to give the ball to Marshawn Lynch. So yeah, I mean, Marshawn Lynch is a great, great player. Le'Veon Bell, definitely, you know, 1A in my opinion. I would have put Lynch above him. And then a snub for our list, Eddie Lacy was actually ranked really high in PFF, the third ranked running back at 19.8, just behind Marshawn Lynch, who's actually poised for a really good breakout year there in Green Bay.
Ken, let's bring in the second team votes here. Adrian Peterson would be next up in terms of vote getting with 17. Jamal Charles is our other second team running back. And as we just mentioned, Eddie Lacy getting the quote unquote snub. Although when you're talking about a vote like this, you can't really say that anybody got snubbed. Ken, why don't you talk about our running backs, Le'Veon Bell, Marshawn Lynch on the first team, Adrian Peterson, Jamal Charles on the second team.
Well, I voted for Adrian Peterson as first team because he was the best running back in the NFL before he got hurt. Then he got his knees repaired and then was still the best running back at the NFL. And then he sat on his butt and Roger Goodell made him very angry. So he's going to come back, and I think he's going to take the lead by storm. And, you know, you can't really argue with who we selected ahead of him just based on Adrian Peterson not playing last year. But Jamal Charles is definitely in that list. He belongs with the other three names. I think the Chiefs would be a god-awful team without him. But, I mean, I don't know how Adrian Peterson isn't the best running back in the league after spending a year off training. I mean, I wish the Chargers had traded for him. I know that wasn't a real story this offseason, but I really wish it happened, man. I'm a huge Adrian Peterson fan.
Simon, what do you think of Adrian Peterson here?
Yeah, I think out of sight, out of mind for a lot of the votes here. I think I voted for him in my top three. I think he'll come back re-energized. I think if he wants to stay in Minnesota, I think that's going to be a really, really good offense. North Turner's always done well with that sort of lead back. And I think Teddy Bridgewater is going to be one of the better young quarterbacks next year. So yeah, I think he's going to be fantastic next year. I think the two guys that got our votes, Marshawn Lynch was for me the best running back in the league last year. And Le'Veon was the best dual purpose back last year. Look at his impact last year and that. Well, him not being in that playoff game probably cost Pittsburgh a good chance of going through to the next round. So I think one guy, yeah, that we talked about, Jamal Charles, I think he's so true. If he's not in that offense, then how do they ever score points? But we'll see. This year should be interesting. Some good young running backs coming through as well. My guy, Jeremy Hill, watch out for him in the 2015 season. Should be a cracking development for him.
Greg, did Eddie Lacy get any votes?
Yeah, Murray, DeMarco Murray, McCoy, Forte, and Lacy all got votes. But the guy who we left off the list, who didn't get a single vote, was Arian Foster.
Mm. Yeah, I think, but I don't know. I mean, would I take Arian Foster over any of these guys? I don't think I would.
Mm-mm. No way. No way.
Yeah.
But what's shocking is he was like the second or third leading pitcher in the league, and we didn't give him a vote. I mean, I just looking over it this morning, I didn't vote for him either, but you know, I was like, what the heck?
12th ranked in PFF running back.
I don't know if Arian Foster is a game changer, man. Like you look at any of those other running backs and you can win. They're adding a bunch of wins to your season. Like at least I would say two. I think those running backs on the teams that we selected, they're adding two wins to your season, I think. I don't know if Arian Foster does that.
I think Marshawn Lynch probably adds more than two wins. Yeah, that's the reason why the Seahawks are so good on offense.
Adrian Peterson took some terrible Viking quarterbacks to the playoffs.
Great point.
So let's move on now to the wide receiver position. And our first team wide receivers is an interesting trio. We have Calvin Johnson, Dez Bryant, and Antonio Brown. I don't think, Calvin Johnson and Dez Bryant received the most votes by far. Johnson with 23 and Dez with 22. What's interesting, as we will continue through this, is that Antonio Brown received 13 to make it to the first team. Now, our second team wide receivers consists of Julio Jones, Odell Beckham Jr., and Jordy Nelson. And now the conversation offline so far has been Odell Beckham Jr. being sort of a media product and Demaryius Thomas, the other guy who was a franchise tag who just got a big contract, doesn't make the team. So who wants to take this one? Ken, since Demaryius Thomas is in your division, why don't you talk about Demaryius Thomas not on the first or second team?
Well, I just got to be transparent here. I didn't vote for Demaryius Thomas, and that is not entirely due to me being a Chargers fan and just not liking the guy because he destroys my team every year. But I looked at – I mean, I voted Calvin Johnson, Dez Bryant, Antonio Brown, and I thought – looking just, I gave Calvin Johnson the nod because he's Calvin Johnson. And even though he was hurt last year, he easily has the physical tools to be the greatest receiver ever. I mean, just physically, you look at the guy, he could be the greatest receiver of all time, but obviously injuries have held him back. So I gave him the nod for the first overall best wide receiver in the league. And then I looked at Dez Bryant and I thought, oh, well, he reminds me a lot of Calvin Johnson. So let's go with him. Plus he had just an amazing year last year. And then Antonio Brown, I wanted to round out the list with a smaller guy who profiled a different type of receiver than Calvin Johnson and Dez Bryant. But I think Demaryius Thomas is in that group too. He's obviously really good, but if you're just asking me who would I rather have on my team, Demaryius Thomas or Calvin Johnson or Dez Bryant, Demaryius Thomas is going to be the third guy that I pick.
English Simon, we were talking earlier about Demaryius Thomas not making this team. What are your thoughts here?
Yeah, I think I made the point that I think any of 10 players could really have made the cut. Like, I didn't even vote for AJ Green, and as a homer, I think he could definitely be in there. So, yeah, it's a tough one, really, because from my perspective, he's been fantastic for a number of years, and he's the guy that I've had in my fantasy teams for a number of years. I think he's been fantastic. I think maybe people think he might be because he's with Payton and that he might not be as good as people think he is, but potentially I'd say that he is as good as anybody there is in the game in terms of just making a difference and also being that physical presence, which you know is really important for, just being a big issue, you know. So for me, I think he's a guy you can definitely talk about. I think he'll have a big year this year. And I think Calvin's probably got a few more votes in there because of what he's done previously and just how much of a difference he is. So we'll see how it goes in the next sort of this season. I think it could change, but I think he's in line to be that top three for sure next year.
I can tell you if I was going to vote, and I had mentioned this before, that I thought Jordy Nelson was the wide receiver in the league. He's the guy that I think works the most. He is definitely been on the field more than Calvin Johnson. And I had mentioned this during that particular preview of the NFC North that I like Jordy Nelson more than I liked Calvin Johnson. So my vote would have been Jordy Nelson, Calvin Johnson. And then I would have struggled at the third spot. I really would have. Would it be Dez Bryant, Antonio Brown, or Demaryius Thomas? I definitely would not have gone with Julio Jones or Odell Beckham Jr. in my top three. And I think that's probably where most of the arguments lie. But again, this was done by all of our super fans. Unfortunately, only 28 of them voted. When we talk about snubs, it's difficult to talk about snubs, but I'm certainly curious to see. It is curious to see Julio Jones and Odell Beckham Jr. above a guy like Demaryius Thomas. Greg, you mentioned that Demaryius Thomas would have been seventh if we had gone one more spot.
Correct. Yeah. And that's really cutting hairs. He only missed out by a vote or two. And as a guy who voted for Odell Beckham Jr., I just want to say I purely did it because I couldn't decide. And in a dynasty league, I own Odell Beckham. So my dynasty franchise always breaking ties.
So it was more of a vote for a, I really hope Odell Beckham Jr. Has that breakout sophomore year. He keeps it up. He doesn't have a sophomore slump. All right. At tight end, we mentioned our unanimous vote was for Rob Gronkowski for the first team, but not very far behind, receiving 24 of the possible 28 votes, was Jimmy Graham. I don't think there's any argument there. Those two are the best tight ends in the league. The number three spot, I think, would be interesting. Greg, do we know who the number three guy would have been?
Number three ended up being Greg Olsen, and he beat out Julius Thomas by three votes. And to me, that's very interesting because I would have bet anything that Thomas would have been the third, just because of the play to Peyton Manning, a lot of hype around him, and going to Jacksonville apparently turned him to dust. So
that is definitely interesting, Ken. What do you, Julius Thomas? You saw him the most. What do you think?
I thought he was really good, obviously, in Denver, but I put a lot of his statistics on the shoulders of Peyton Manning and playing with Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders. You can't cover all three of those guys. So I think he benefited from being a big, tall receiver in a Peyton Manning offense.
How far down the list, Greg, was Jason Witten? Because I would have put Jason Witten as my third tight end. But maybe that's also Jason Witten might be past his prime.
Yeah, he was six. He followed, so it went Olsen, Thomas, then Kelsey, and then Witten.
Interesting that Kelsey getting more votes than Witten. I think Jason
see Gate get very many votes along those same lines.
I think Gates is another guy that might be, you know, his better days are definitely behind him. I mean, Gates is still obviously very good, but, you know, is he as good as he once was? I think that's definitely not the case.
He's a cheater now.
Offensive. That's right. That is also true. At offensive line, we mentioned that we decided to take this on as a unit instead of as individual players. We thought it was a little bit more fair to rank them as a unit. And with that being said, Dallas overwhelmingly and unanimously took the first team. Our second team, a tie here, Greg. Is this our only? No, this isn't our only tie, but an interesting tie to say the least. And that is Green Bay and Baltimore, both receiving 15 votes. Talk about our offensive line voting here, Greg.
Okay, so what's the most interesting there is that there seemed to be no clear number two, of course, and it seemed like the AFC North got kind of a bump because of that. Of the top six, all the AFC North teams ended up being represented in there. So I wonder, almost as a AFC North homer, if Baltimore would have got the bump a little bit more if Cleveland, Cincinnati, and Pittsburgh's lines weren't seen as being pretty good. So the second place, you know, they tied with Green Bay, but outside of that, there's no other non-AFC North teams in the top six.
I could have sworn, Simon, that I saw a lot of Cleveland votes on there, and we did talk about Cleveland as a strong offensive line unit when we did the division preview.
Yeah, it was good to see that because I think you look at the guys they brought in last year. Joel Petonio was a great rookie, did well on the line, and obviously Joe Thomas has been the top offensive lineman in the league for a number of years. And it's if you add in there Mac on theory, if he's available, obviously last year he missed a bit of time, then that's obviously a quality line. And they've added again, obviously, with Cameron Irving, that's right, isn't it, this offseason in the draft. So I think again they'll be quite a competitive bunch, and as we discussed in our previews, it's a division full of really good lines, because Baltimore's obviously huge, Pittsburgh have been great, and then ourselves in the Bengals, we've got a good line as well. So it's going to be interesting to see who in our division, you know, grows as a line. So it should be interesting.
Anybody else have anything to say about our offensive line voting here?
One thing I actually didn't think of when I was doing my voting was Philadelphia. They've lost the guard Evan Mathis, but Jason Peters was amazing last year, ranked as the top left tackle in PFF ratings.
Yeah, Philadelphia's got a pretty decent offensive line, but again, I think injuries factor in there. How can they stay healthy? If they stay healthy, they're definitely a top offensive line, but that if is a big if. Moving on to the defensive side of the ballot, one guy who almost was unanimous, he missed out on two votes. That's Ndamukong Suh. He's our first team defensive tackle. Our second defensive tackle for the first team would be Gerald McCoy. Those are two big mountains of a men. Our second team defensive tackles are Aaron Donald and Marcel Darius. Let's talk with you, Charlie, as your division has some big beef there in the defensive tackle land. Anybody missing that you can think of?
Sharif Floyd from Minnesota, I thought was a bit of a snub there. But overall, Aaron Donald is just a beast. Going against him, I believe it was week 8 in San Francisco, he was wrecking havoc on our offensive line. Very scared to see that guy in his second year. But I mean, going back over to the first team, Ndamukong Suh and Gerald McCoy, there's no one better. Those guys are amazing. It'll be interesting to see the Ndamukong Suh over in a Dolphins uniform. Hopefully he can play at that level next year as well.
Who here thinks a defensive tackle got snubbed on our first or second team?
Not me. I think we can be quite. I think we've got quite a good set there. I know. I think Geno Atkins, obviously my guy. I voted for him. As a pure homer. I think hopefully he comes back this year and can push out those core four to be a defensive tackle. Maybe Kyle Williams versus his teammate Marcel Darius. But I think those four are really, really strong players.
As we move to the defensive end positions, I'm going to start with just one defensive end. It looks like we had a little confusion in our voting for like an edge rusher. I guess that would be a guy that could be a defensive end or a stand-up linebacker. But the clear unanimous vote was for J.J. Watt at defensive end. And then, Greg, why don't you explain what's going on here with our defensive end voting?
Well, just with the 3-4 defense and the 4-3 defenses, it was really hard to come up with, figure out what guys are doing. Because I personally, coming from the 3-4, wanted to use my outside linebackers as, like, the pass rushers. But, I mean, like, where do you put Robert Quinn, who was our second-best defensive end? Is he a red rusher, or is he, like, J.J. Watt at the 3-4 end? So I kind of made it, like, pure D end would be just J.J. Watt and whoever followed him, and then the edge rusher just for a general pass rusher. Because when you get to outside linebacker, too, you have the problem, where do you put Lavonte David? Because a lot of guys are voting for him for inside linebacker versus outside, and it was just getting a little confusing.
So we'll just take the edge rushers and defensive ends. Our four guys are J.J. Watt, Robert Quinn, Mario Williams, and Von Miller. Our edge guys being Robert Quinn and Von Miller, our defensive ends being J.J. Watt and Mario Williams. Honestly, I mean, from when I looked at the ballots, those were the guys that I saw the most on everybody's ballot, and I think that's pretty hard to argue there. Anybody want to talk about somebody that didn't make the ballot?
Well, I really feel like Robert Quinn was a bit overrated. The year before, he played really well in 2013. Last year, went through, the first, 8 weeks of the season without a sack. I would love to be able to throw in at the 4-3 defensive end, like a Michael Bennett, who, when when he was forced to go back to the outside, of course, in the Super Bowl pod, you might remember when Averill went out, it was a totally different game. They were able to come back from that two-score deficit there. So, yeah, I would probably take out Robert Quinn and put in Michael Bennett there.
That's interesting. Our outside linebackers, as Levante David was mentioned, he's on our second team. Our first team guy, almost unanimous, was Justin Houston. Again, I think that's pretty difficult to argue. Where we do have some interesting voting would be our inside linebackers. And I Keekly was one vote short of being a unanimous decision at inside linebacker. Bobby Wagner makes the first team. CJ Mosley and Navarro Bowman end up on the second team. But Greg, it looks like Clay Matthews ended up being on the outside looking in because some people voted for him at outside linebacker, while three people voted for him at inside linebacker.
Yeah. And again, that's just the confusion of the positions, you know, with the NFL today. So, and he did play a lot of inside linebacker last year. So what do you do with him?
He might have, but I'm sorry. So, but the reason why he's in that inside linebacker is because Sam, our Giants fan, voted for him ahead of Luke. And Luke Kuechly is comfortably the best inside linebacker in the league. So a bit of a shocker there, but he's not our fifth unanimous player. But I guess Clay, yeah, had to get in that team for Sam.
I think that's obscene that someone could look at Clay Matthews playing middle linebacker and say it's better than Luke Kuechly.
Yeah, I don't think that there's anybody that's better than Luke Kuechly at inside linebacker. One, you know, there's a couple of names that I think are missing here, and that could have been because, you know, they're injured and they're out. But I think Jerod Mayo is a definite inside linebacker candidate here. He obviously didn't play at all last year due to injury. Thomas Davis is not on our linebacker list anywhere, and he is clearly a beast at linebacker. I mean, those are two names that I would suggest are certainly missing here on our list.
Isn't Thomas Davis like an outside 3-4 linebacker for Carolina there?
Yeah, he might be.
But on the inside linebacker, I thought a huge snub was a guy that played amazing for New England in the Super Bowl, Jamie Collins. They have him listed as an inside linebacker in PFF, third ranked behind Dont'a Hightower and Luke Kuechly. But Jamie Collins would have gotten my vote.
In terms of Patriot linebackers, Jamie Collins is much better suited on the outside, I believe, than on the inside. And he was playing on the inside due to the injuries that the linebacking core had. Dont'a Hightower is definitely an overrated guy. He is a big dude that cannot cover at all. He's a run stuffer and he's a thumper, but he cannot cover. He can't cover a lot of the running backs that are in the AFC East, never mind anywhere else in the NFL. He's big, slow dude, but yeah, that's my thoughts on the Patriot linebackers. I definitely think Jerod Mayo is the best of them all when he's healthy, and that's a big if when he's healthy.
I got to talk about the only Niner represented on this list, Navarro Bowman. Yeah, in 2013, as I said on the last podcast, a lot of people thought that Luke Kuechly was or that Navarro Bowman was better than Luke Kuechly for the Defensive Player of the Year. Totally agree. Obviously, Navarro Bowman coming back this year. This is like AP. It's a projection thing. We're projecting on how well he's going to be next year. And honestly, I think he could be better than even our second inside linebacker, Bobby Wagner. Luke Kuechly is still the best in the NFL by far, but look for Navarro Bowman to have a big season.
Well, Navarro Bowman's going to have a big season for the 49ers unless he retires here in the next week or so.
I was going to make the same joke, Pod. Well done.
did I bring it back? Did I make up for the rant on Tom Brady at the beginning of the show? I hope
well,
so.
I think now you're gonna have to add it into the show again after I thought you might cut it out, but oh well. No, definitely. Great joke.
We move to our cornerbacks, and this is definitely an interesting conversation. We always talk about who is the best corner in the NFL? And there's usually three names that come up, and those are Darrell Revis, Richard Sherman, Patrick Peterson. Having seen Darrell Revis on my team last year, there's no doubt in my mind Darrell Revis is the best corner in the league without a doubt. What I think is interesting is the votes were tied between him and Richard Sherman at 24 apiece, and Patrick Peterson is sort of like an afterthought. And honestly, Patrick Peterson is a pretty fantastic corner. He leads the second team. And then there's our second tie here between Vontae Davis and Joe Hayden. And honestly, I don't believe Vontae Davis belongs in this conversation.
What?
Nope. Over Joe Hayden?
Over, let's see. I would say Patrick Peterson is the one that needs to be out on that force or five-some there.
Wow.
Look at the amount of touchdowns allowed on cornerbacks in the past three seasons. Chris Harris, who was a huge snub, only three allowed. Richard Sherman, six. Darrell Revis, six. Joe Hayden, 16. Patrick Peterson, 21. Wow. Patrick Peterson, in my mind, is the most overrated corner in the league.
And I don't disagree.
I disagree with that because I think it's Joe Hayden. Joe Hayden, I see him play, you know, probably 10 times a year. And I'm just never impressed with him. It's not like he never has that Darrell Revis performance where he just shuts down the number one option. I mean, that's just watching divisional AFC North football. So,
and I could say that watching Chris Harris twice a year, he disrupts Phillip Rivers' passes all the time. I hate Chris Harris because he's freaking good.
Yep.
That's it. I feel so smug that I voted for Sherman, Revis, and Chris Harris. Just sat here in my London apartment, just relaxing and going, yes, well done, Simon. You're a great voter.
Good vote. Good vote. Pat yourself on the back. Patrick Peterson ranking was 69 overall in PFF ranking of corners, negative 3.6. He is definitely living off of his name at this point.
Wow. You know what? You guys have convinced me that I think next week one of our special guests will be from PFF because PFF Radio is on Blog Talk Radio. So you can go and download their show, and we're definitely going to have them come on and talk about, maybe we'll have them react a little bit to our first and second teams. I think that'll be a fun show. Wow, I can't. Joe Hayden and Patrick Peterson are overrated. This will definitely be the tease on our Twitter for today's show. Absolutely. Finishing out our secondary with our safeties, the Legion of Boom ends up with three members in our secondary. Our safeties are Earl Thomas and Cam Chancellor. We want to talk about overrated. I think Cam Chancellor is the guy out of those three that doesn't belong on our first team. Eric Weddle leads the second team, and he's the guy I would replace Cam Chancellor with. Harrison Smith, an interesting name on the second team. Who are we missing in the safety positions, gentlemen?
What about Devin McCourty? I mean, at least the hype on the Super Bowl, you would think that he should have been talked about more.
I wouldn't even say it's the hype of the Super Bowl. I think Devin McCourty is a phenomenal free safety, and perhaps that's where the problem arises. And I actually brought this up when I created the ballot, is sort of the safety position I feel, and maybe it's because it's my team that's been responsible for a lot of this, there really isn't a true free safety, strong safety anymore on a lot of teams. It's more, you know, you have two safeties. And the Patriots, I think, are very clearly going with that sort of alignment. It's going to be interesting to see this year in the Patriots secondary. Patrick, our Patriots superfan, has mentioned that Patrick Chung is not well-suited in coverage, and they're going to need another coverage guy back there. So maybe Chung is not the starter next to Devin McCourty. But I believe Devin McCourty makes a difference in the back end of that secondary and probably belonged here, maybe over Harrison Smith. Who voted for Harrison? Did any of you guys vote for Harrison Smith here?
I believe I did, yeah. He says, I think I voted for six safety. So take my vote, water it down slightly because I've got quite a few names in here. But yeah, I think Harrison Smith was great last year for the Vikings, and Mike Zimmer used him really, really well every time. Because like, you know, when you you have a coach from your old team, you always kind of follow that team, I imagine. And I watched a bit of Smith, and I think he was fantastic last year. And I think he'll step up again this year because he's one of those kind of, he can move around, like you say, but he's also very, very good in the box. So fingers crossed that he continues his development. I also, I know it's a homer pick, but George Iloka is somebody that I put forward as a safety. If you do get on the Pro Football Focus guys, they'll definitely reference Iloka as somebody who's kind of under the radar. But so we'll see. But I honestly think he could be a good one. It's a contract year for him this year. So fingers crossed we can get him signed up for a new long-term deal.
I got you, Simon. Top 12 safety.
I'll take that. I will take that. Thank you very much.
the final area, we left this up to the voters if they wanted to put in special teams or not. A few people did vote, but very few people, because the winning first teamers received 4 votes as the maximum to win these awards. So our all first team kick returner is Jacoby Jones. I mean, he's obviously very good. Our second teamers were tied, Cordarrelle Patterson and Devin Hester. I would say this would be an area where Patrick Peterson was definitely left out. And perhaps I'm overrating him. I cannot believe Patrick Peterson's overrated. But I would say Patrick Peterson belongs in this conversation for sure. Darren Sproles being the punt returner with only 2 votes. But all of our punt returners were tied with 2 votes. So take your choice between Darren Sproles, Jacoby Jones, and Antonio Brown. Greg, was there anyone else, or were those the only 3 getting votes?
Well, the only 3 I can remember, that's for sure.
That's fine. I mean,
it's one of the least exciting groups to talk about, that's for sure. Yeah, I think there was only a total of like 8 guys that got votes at all for return then. So.
All right, and then kicker, our first team kicker is Steven Gostkowski. I think that's difficult to argue. I think he's definitely one of the best kickers in the league. He's definitely the most accurate in NFL history. Justin Tucker is the second team kicker, but a kicker is a kicker is a kicker. Punters, I can't believe we even voted on this position, but Pat McAfee ends up winning our first team votes. Andy Lee and Johnny Hecker tied for our second team punter. But again, if there's a position even more worthless than kicker, it's punter. So if anybody wants to make an argument for a kicker or a punter, go for it.
Just shout out to Mike Seifers for being an awesome punter. Everyone in San Diego loves Mike Seifers. I still believe that Mike Seifers won us a playoff game against Peyton Manning in like maybe 5 or 6 years ago.
I remember that game. That was one of the greatest performances by any player, pound for pound.
Yeah.
I've ever seen it. It was unbelievable.
Pound for pound. You could say what you want about punters, but Mike Seifers was a howitzer that day and was launching, you know, 70-yard punts to pin Peyton Manning at the 1-yard line. And it's laughable, but Mike Seifers won us that game. The only punter I want to talk about is who was Greg? Who was the punter that the Steelers, Antonio Brown, I believe, drop kicked?
That was a Browns guy. He got cut.
Spencer Lanning, was it? Spencer Lanning.
That's what I want to talk about.
That was really geeky. But I just want to make a point on kickers and punters that get voted into the Pro Bowl. All this lovely, amazing, super fan ballot, basically. Anyone who kicks indoors should be completely rejected from application, because it's so much easier to kick indoors than it is outdoors. Like Pat McAfee, I'm sure he's a great guy by all accounts, but come on, he kicks in the dome. It's like I could be a serviceable kicker. Punter by being indoors. I'm telling you, it must be so easy. So that should be a caveat for next season's effort for me.
I want to see English Simon as an indoor kicker.
I bet for Kevin Huber, the Cincinnati Bengals. So yes, he had a great year though. But still, I just think if you kick indoors, you should be not allowed to be in a Pro Bowl.
But Pat McAfee is the best Twitter follower in the NFL, so that gives him some props right there.
Well, kickers are crazy. Every NFL player that I've ever spoke to will tell you kickers are absolutely nuts, and it's probably because they have so much darn free time to do whatever they want. They usually go out and play some golf. They show up at training camp. They make a few kicks. They get the ball when it goes off the field. They're like glorified ball boys.
So it's safe to say that there won't be a Blog Talk Radio show about punters and kickers anytime soon.
I don't know. I did reach out to a kicker on Twitter. He's very famous. He's no longer kicking though. But he's very outspoken, and sorry that I denigrated all kickers. I take it back. Maybe I should edit that part out. The Brady rant stays. He is a former Viking. Listen, you know, I reach out to lots of people. Some respond and some don't. Hopefully, Mr. Chris will respond. All right. Well, gentlemen, that's our first and second team. And I'm sure there's people out there that are going, I didn't hear my guy. And if you didn't, well, that's because you're not a super fan. Now, if you're a Texans fan or a Dolphins fan, well, you can get your voice heard by sending us an application, nextfanup@gmail.com. You can tweet us at NFU Podcast, facebook.com/NFU Podcast. Those are the ways to get in contact with us. If you're a Texans and Dolphins fan and you want to join us and talk about your teams, get your team a voice, please reach out to us on those social media platforms. Anybody else have anything to say? I think we have a fantastic team. I would love to play these teams on Madden, but I think our first team is going to dominate. When I look at the first team, there's really not a guy that we missed. Maybe Bobby Wagner. Maybe. And maybe Patrick Peterson, but just maybe.
No. No babies. 21 touchdowns given up in 3 years. It's terrible.
Brandon Flowers. Yeah.
Wow.
I agree.
All right.
Give me Chris Harris, though, any day.
Brandon Flowers, Chris Harris, Mike Cyphers, all guys snubbed by the super fans when selecting our first and second teams. Like I said, email us, tweet us, Facebook us, somehow get in contact with us. We want to hear from you, and I'm sure that there's lots of things for you to say. As I mentioned at the beginning of the show, changes are coming. We have two more Saturday shows coming to you over the next couple of weeks, and then we will be changing to twice a week with a Sunday evening program and a Thursday day program. We got some more Next Fan Up coming for you guys as the season is fast approaching, and we're excited about it. Anybody else excited about it? Oh, I think this guy's excited about it.
We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
That's right. All right. On that note, I will say, there you have it.
Well, I think we learned today that, this game is four quarters long.